Welcome to Mom Friends. We are two longtime friends, Laura, who is a pregnancy and postpartum doula and mom of two,
and Raimi, who is a first-time mom-to-be, and we both get together to discuss the journey from preconception through pregnancy, postpartum, and beyond.
Join us for weekly raw conversations and relatable struggles on how this life-changing event impacts all areas of our lives.
Let's begin. Hello, welcome back to Mom Friends. Today we have a special pregnancy Q&A episode where Raimi is going to be answering all of your questions. Hello, Raimi.
Hello. Oh, sorry, I don't know what that was. It's just all the excitement that came up and rolled across my tongue. Thank you guys for coming back and tuning in again. Honestly, announcing it last week really solidified the pregnancy. Like, this whole time, you know, I've been so cautiously optimistic, as you guys know, and really being able to celebrate and putting it out there made it feel so real for Nate and I. So yeah, it was a huge night. It was a huge milestone. And I remember leading up to the post, because I was planning on posting at noon, I just had so many butterflies in my stomach, and it was just like so nervous to like share this because I've been keeping it a secret for so long. But yeah, now that it's out, I'm just excited to share everything, all the things, because I am an open book. So
yeah. It was so exciting. Even for me, I'm not even pregnant. I was like, I remember we were counting down the hours to like
You're
the
like,
post.
2 minutes, 1 minute.
Yeah, it was so exciting. And also we had the podcast episode scheduled for 4 hours after our usual podcast time, and so everyone was asking us, where is the episode? We can't find it. So it's completely ignoring everyone too, which made it more stressful.
Like, la la la, ignore.
Because Raimi wanted to post at noon, and we usually post like 3 hours, 4 hours before that.
I know. And speaking of, we have decided to take some of you guys' feedback on posting early on East Coast time. So you guys, you know, commuting to work, East Coast, can also listen to the episode.
Yes. So starting this week, we are going to be publishing every single week's podcast episode at 3 a.m. Pacific, which is 6 a.m. Eastern. Wow. And that way everyone on the East Coast will be able to listen early in the morning if they want to do that in their commute, for example. So yeah, we took that as a feedback and we are shifting it. So it's exciting. Yeah,
that's exciting news too.
Yes. So there's a lot of questions that have been submitted, and some of the topics of the questions submitted, we already have covered it in previous episodes. So if you really want to know those like step-by-step details, just go back and listen to the previous episodes. Obviously, we've covered so much, but today we're going to cover a lot more. There's a lot of personal questions.
New stuff.
Yeah, new stuff that we haven't yet. So very interesting questions. And this episode is fully dedicated to Raimi. So I'm going to just ask all the questions. There's no doula questions today. We'll leave those for the future. Today is all about Raimi's pregnancy. So let's begin. The first one, and I think it was the most asked
question. Oh my God.
Question.
The most.
How far along are you right now? When are you due?
So currently I'm 16 weeks and I'm due end of August of this summer when it's like the hottest in Texas. So yeah.
And I'll be there.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll have to get ready for the heat.
I'm so excited. You are going to die. It's going to be real hot. We'll have to figure out how to stay active because honestly, if you don't get your workouts in before 7:30, it's already 100 degrees.
Yeah, or at night. Does it get cool at night?
At night, it's still 100 degrees.
Oh, great.
Okay. I know. I'm so excited, though. It's honestly, since passing the first trimester, it's been going so fast.
Yeah, and now you're going to feel better, energized, so it probably will go faster. Also, the first trimester, I feel like it goes so slow because you're always waiting for news, and it's like, that makes it be so like slow and anxious, right? And so now you're, okay, sure, you're always waiting for something, but it's not the same pressure as the first trimester. So I feel like it does go by faster for sure.
And leading up to the first trimester, it was like months and months of preparation and IVF treatment. So the whole thing just felt so long. All of last year felt so long. And now I really feel like August is just going to come around the corner real quick.
How are you feeling now? And how are your symptoms?
Yeah, so I would say, honestly, like I couldn't believe it. When week 14 hit, my symptoms just disappeared. And up until the night before, on week 13, day 6, I was throwing up. So I honestly thought I would be well into the second trimester, still feeling nauseous, still having crazy aversions, not being able to eat, feeling all these symptoms, but it went away the next morning and it hasn't come back since. So I've had 2 weeks of bliss and I'm just feeling so, so good, so energized now, probably feeling like I'm back to my normal self where I'm not so much of a slob. Like, I think the first trimester, Nate had to pick up a lot of my slack because I would start something, I would start cooking something, and then everything would just be out. I couldn't have energy to put it all back. And now I'm really feeling like I'm on top of things and being able to like cook for myself, clean up, and I'm feeling a lot better. Even my brain.
Yeah. And we cover all the exact symptoms like as we progress, because we still have a couple episodes until we catch up in real time.
Yeah.
So you're going to be able to also keep seeing how the symptoms progress. But now you're good. You should be good. Obviously, yeah. Symptoms can come and go anytime, even in the third trimester, second trimester. So, but you should be much better now. So that's great. Yay. Big milestone too.
I know. I thought, you know how some pregnancies, they have the nausea all throughout?
Yeah.
I really thought like, oh, maybe that'll be me, because I just couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel.
The second time I knew what to expect, I was like, okay, the second trimester, I'll feel much better. That also gave me hope to like, just keep going, you know. But the first time I was like, oh my God, is this ever going to end? Like, I was grateful, obviously, because the symptoms do make you feel like you're okay, everything's like developing. Okay, fine. I'll take it. But at the same time, you're like, oh my God, it's never ending.
Like, you're miserable. And honestly, if I didn't have you to like text every night and be like, oh Laura, I'm so miserable. This really sucks. Like, please like share the emotions with me, because I just wanted to like feel like heard and seen, because it's so hard. Like, Nate can't really relate either. Mm-hmm. He knows I'm suffering, but I can't just snap out of it. You know what I mean? Like, it's a whole thing.
It takes over your day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
It truly does.
I feel like it was a blur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It takes over your work. It takes over your mood, your friends, your relationship, everything. It's so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for us, you know, if you have to create content and be in front of the camera, it's not helpful.
Oh, it was terrible. I did the bare minimum. And I feel like I was, you know, before this, I was posting content all the time and had the energy to film every day. And I did the bare minimum. I did what I had to do. And that was it. That's all I could give.
Survival mode is the first trimester for sure.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
When did you find out you were pregnant?
So I thought this was pretty sweet, because the day that I did the beta test on the 10th day after the transfer was our anniversary. So yeah, it was the day of our anniversary. And, you know, I had a friend who had this like fun cookie party on that day. But when we found out the news, I honestly just wanted to celebrate that with Nate at home and just be us two cozy. So we ended up not going to that, and we had a really quiet and like just happy night at home that night, and just hoping that it would just progress. And we had a good beta number too, so we were really like hopeful. But yeah, it was like before Christmas, so it was a sweet moment.
Yeah, right before the holidays. Yeah. Well, like a couple of weeks before the holidays. So that whole season was beautiful, because that's during the holidays, that's when you got to see the heartbeat and all of those little things that were so special. So that was really beautiful. And also another thing that was really amazing was when you shared the miscarriage episode 11, talking about the miscarriage, and you announced it to the world. That was the day you transferred this embryo.
Oh, that's right, huh?
And that also was, it was nice in that sense to be ahead, because you had already moved on. It was like a new beginning while sharing the you know, old. So how everything worked out, the timeline was really amazing too, right?
Yeah, that's true. It really worked out. And I remember like the doctor was pushing to show me the heartbeat even on his day off because he knew that that would be like my Christmas gift. You know what I mean? To be able to see the heartbeat. So he like got me in and fit me in just so that I can have that peace of mind going into the holidays. And that was really nice.
Yeah, that was perfect. And it works out that you're due in August because I'm available to fly there with all my family.
Yes.
And help you through postpartum, which we talked about this. It wouldn't have been possible in any other time of the year. If the kids had school, I wouldn't have been able to go for 2 weeks and help you with all the postpartum stage too.
So not true. Wow.
So it just works out so beautifully, right? Like, I mean, you can't pick. And obviously we would have, you know, we tried to do it before.
Of course.
But now it happened this way and it all kind of makes sense. Like the puzzle pieces fit, right?
Yes. Yeah, I'm just so relieved that it's 2 weeks before you guys start school. And how perfect is that, you know?
It's amazing. So exciting. How much did you spend on your IVF journey with all of the procedures until now when you're pregnant?
I want to say it's somewhere between $35,000 to $40,000, including the medicine. Because the medicines were very, very expensive. And also the extra steps I took to get to the transfer, which the hysteroscopy too included. I would say 40 grand, which is a lot of money. And it's not covered by insurance.
Yeah.
At least for
out
me.
Out of pocket, 40 grand. And a lot of things you need to pay up front, right?
Yeah. I mean, you pay for all of it up front.
So there's no payment plan options?
I mean, I'm sure the doctors have payment plan options, yes.
Yeah, because I would imagine, like, this is a lot of money we're talking about.
No.
Yeah, it's not really accessible.
Yep. And like I mentioned on my stories, like, your results are not guaranteed, you know? So you may have to, you know, do it again and again. So I did two full IVF cycles, which include two egg retrievals and two transfers and a hysteroscopy plus meds each round.
Right. And obviously, it depends also on your results that you're going to get more or less embryos. And then maybe you only need one IVF, you know, so everyone's journey will vary and the pricing too, depending on that.
On top of that, we did genetic testing, which was extra.
Right.
And we also did ICSI, which is because we needed to really pinpoint the best sperm and dates sample. And so because of that, we also paid extra for those two things too.
So now that you're pregnant, people were asking also, how many eggs did you retrieve both times? Are you comfortable with answering that right now that you are already pregnant?
Yeah. So I'm 35, you know, and turning 36 in a month. For me, my AMH levels were normal for my age and I didn't have any irregular periods or anything like that. So everything checked out good, normal. I got 12 eggs on the first round and 15 eggs on the second round. And the reason we only had two total embryos from both is because the second round with the quality of Nate's sperm, it just happened to be a really not a good batch that day that we did the egg retrieval. So unfortunate. And so all of the eggs that we got did not fertilize.
Yeah. So even getting more eggs, you had zero results versus the first time that you got 12, three less, but then you got two perfect embryos from that one.
Yeah, two genetically tested good embryos.
And are you guys planning on having another baby after this one?
So obviously I know in the back of my head that when we do plan to have another baby, which yes, we do want another, or at least I want another, Nate's very like, let's just have this one first and see if we like being parents first before we bring another. But I just know we're going to have more kids. So I already know in the back of my head, I have to do another egg retrieval. I had a complication. It was terrible. Like, do I dread it? Yes. But that's what's going to have to happen is I have to go through the whole IVF process again with starting with the egg retrieval and hope that we'll do everything possible before I do that to make sure Nate's sperm is good and top notch for him. Right. So that I don't waste another egg retrieval.
And you have about like at least 2.5 years before you do that, because the 9 months of the pregnancy plus at least a year, right, to recover before you even start doing another IVF journey.
So how old would I be?
You would probably be like, you're 36 now, you know, in a month or two.
Yeah.
You would probably be 38-ish.
Yeah. So I'll be like 39. I'll be like 39 when I give birth to the next one, huh?
36 with the first, 39-ish with the second. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. If we wanted a third, then I would be 42, which is actually when my mom had me.
Yeah. Well, you have the option. You know, it's stressful to think of age for women, especially.
Yeah.
So do you know the gender, and will you be announcing? And if so, when?
This is also another very, very most commonly asked question. So with IVF, yes, you know the gender, and you mm-hmm. know that there is no chromosomal abnormalities before you even transfer, if you choose to find out, yeah, and do the genetic testing. So we did. And so, yes, we knew exactly which one we transfer first and which gender we transfer second. And well, in terms of announcing, I haven't thought about it yet, but I definitely want to share because I'm going to start. Actually, yeah, I do want to share because I want to start opening packages and sharing what I'm getting, you know, what I'm shopping for late on the couch at night, which is all baby clothes and stuff. So I just have to think about like when I'm going to announce it. When did you announce gender?
I think I announced my pregnancies at 10 weeks and then the gender probably around 14, 15 weeks.
Oh, yeah. So early on.
Early on. Yes. Yeah. Because as just like you, I first of all, I'm going to slip. I'm going to say she or he for sure.
Exactly.
I'm so bad.
You know how many times we've slipped on this podcast and we've had to edit it out just so you guys know?
And I'm the one editing. Trust me, it sucks because I have to like edit everything out.
Oh, so many.
It's so tedious. But I also feel like so excited. Like I want to tell people. Like I don't want to. Like I understand some people like the keeping it to themselves. Like it's just our secret, our privacy. Like it's fun. But for me, I just want to share it and shout it. And like, I'm having a girl, or I'm having a boy. I just want to share that. I don't share the name until the baby is born.
That's how I
feel. Just because I also, I want to see their face and like call him or her that name for a few days. And then, you know, then I share it like an introduction to the world with the name. But just to the gender, early on for sure.
Well, I wonder when I should I do it? You know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to announce it 20 weeks after the anatomy scan.
You mean 20 weeks after? You mean after the 20 weeks anatomy scan?
No. At 20 weeks and after the anatomy scan. I think that's what I'll do. So in 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's a good time. That's a lot of people choose to do that because a lot of people actually find out the gender at 20 weeks anatomy scan. They don't do genetic testing.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
So a lot of people do find out or confirm then. So that's a good time, which is close. You're 17 weeks almost. So like,
yeah, in 4 weeks, I will share it. And I also want to get a guess. Like I want people guess what. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, we'll do a poll. Yeah. Do you have names picked up?
Oh, yeah. And we have one name. We knew it from even before this transfer. Like we knew it before the first transfer. Nate had this name in mind when I asked him, do you have any baby names? Because I'm not someone that keeps a list of baby names. And he said, yep, I have one. And he told me it. And I was like, done. Click. Boom. That's the name and just no changing it. It's that. Do you like it?
I love it. I mean, it suits you. And
I know.
When you told me.
Yeah.
I am not surprised. I'm like, yeah, that's the baby. You know?
Right?
It's like, yeah, it's...
See, you gotta edit that out.
I'm gonna bleep it.
Yeah, it's
it's the baby. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and everyone I say it and when I spell it out, I'm just like, oh, it just flows. It just.
Oh, I love that when you see it spelled and it makes sense, like on a blanket. Yeah. I remember that feeling too with my kids. It's like it's them. That's it. Are you confirming the middle name that you told me or are you still like doubting that?
Oh, no, I'm not doing a middle name.
You're not going to do a middle name?
No, it's too complicated.
And you don't have a middle name yourself, right?
Exactly. So I never thought, I think it's really necessary.
Yeah, that's perfect. Love that. Looks like you're starting to show. Have you been hiding your belly on pictures and videos? How have you shot content?
So I have never shot content and like covered the belly. Like, that doesn't make sense. I have always showed myself in real time. So I have nothing to hide because I don't have a belly, honestly. I feel like if anything, the IVF medications and being inactive has made me bloated and maybe gain some weight, except I am not eating as much in first trimester. So I feel like I did lose weight, but I think my belly looks bigger because I'm bloated. I still don't have a belly. So I think that's why I'm able to still show up in all my posts as me, as I am, and not really have to hide my belly. There are certain times during the day, like I guess at night, where I feel like I'm totally like letting the belly out and I look like I have something there.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I'm still waiting to pop.
Yeah. Usually it happens around 20 weeks per, you know, for the first pregnancy. But yeah, it'll pop.
I've been doing the pelvic floor exercises that you sent me. And now that I'm doing that every night and like, you know, bringing the belly in and sucking it in towards the spine, I feel even more so flat. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Soon there's not going to be any hiding it. You know, soon you're going to pop. But I totally get that you are more bloated at night. It happens with everyone, especially with pregnancy. The belly gets bigger at night, you know?
And you eat all day.
That even happened to you before pregnancy, right? Like, it's normal.
Oh, you know me. Like, I would have a 6-month pregnant belly after eating food.
You look pregnant. Mm-hmm, yeah. So obviously, there's moments where you can embrace it, and there's moments where you can hide it better, quote-unquote hide, because you're not hiding anything. But it just fluctuates, and that just shows how women fluctuate all the time, and even in pregnancy. So
so even though I didn't announce until I was 16 weeks, like I didn't feel like I needed to hide anything because there's really nothing there. I think in the pregnancy pictures I took, obviously I did stick out my stomach, like, just because I felt like I didn't have anything. I like kind of really pushed it out, so it may look bigger.
And it was nighttime.
And it was later on during the day, so yeah.
What is the meaning of rainbow baby?
So I learned this terminology way later on, but isn't it when you had a miscarriage before and then you have a successful pregnancy?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think I told you, because the day you transferred this baby, I saw a huge rainbow in LA and I sent you a photo and I was like, your rainbow baby is here.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, what is that? And I said, it's the baby that comes after a miscarriage. And you literally had the transfer that day that I saw the huge rainbow, right? So yeah, and then it worked out. So definitely a nice, beautiful sign.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
A nice sign. Yeah, I love that.
What are you most excited for?
I'm most excited for the moment I get to meet the baby. I almost said the gender again. That I'm right now, like, I can't think so far ahead, but I'm really excited to like see its face.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm also very excited to see Nate in dad mode. Two things I'm just so excited about.
Ah, the best. Yeah.
Yeah. And like how Nate will change and like him, like, just because he's such a nurturer as it is. Uh-huh. I think this will level up that in him even more. And it'd be really heartwarming to see.
Yeah, for sure. And meeting them in person, physically holding them.
Yeah.
Ah, so beautiful. Yeah.
He's so fun.
I can't wait.
Can't wait.
I know. Why do you want kids? I'm at a crossroad myself, and I love hearing people's whys.
So I feel like this didn't really happen to me of like wanting kids until later on in my 20s. And I would say actually in my 30s, but it was more so like having a bigger sense of purpose, like wanting to be wanting to expand my world, just not being so selfish anymore, and just wanting to do something bigger than myself for purpose, if that makes sense. And like, I feel like kids really do help you grow in that way as an adult, to be less selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a stupid reason?
They really come to teach you a lot. And so I don't say that, you know, you need to have kids to find your purpose in life, because I really don't believe everyone has to have kids or needs to have kids or comes here to have kids at all. But
yeah,
I do think that if you're meant to have kids, they come to teach you your life path and what you needed to learn, right? So I totally get that. I don't think it's stupid. I also feel like you always wanted kids. It's just that you didn't want them until you were, like, feel that you wanted them until you were in your 30s. But you've never not thought of your life without kids in the future, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
When you were younger, you always knew you would have kids in the future, right?
Yeah. I've always been someone that likes to keep growing and evolve as a human. Like, I never want to stay stagnant, you know? So I feel like I came to a point where this was the next step, where I would really grow as a person more than I could have by myself to this point. So yeah, like you said, they come here to teach you things. I think they can heal your inner child, you know, with Nate especially. Like, I'm really excited to see that. Like, I want to feel this level of love that is beyond. And I feel like that's what happens when you become a mom. And yeah, it's so beautiful.
And sometimes you learn your why after you have them. Like,
yeah,
you don't know your why maybe yet. You're like, I just know I want kids in my future, and I just know now is the time, right? Like, that's right. Probably what you sense, because you've always been sure about having kids in your future. Once they're here, you're gonna know your why. Like, oh my gosh,
I love that.
This is why, you know. So like, it's okay not to have your why. I feel like if you know you're struggling with finding your why into what having kids or not, I feel like you don't have to put that pressure on you. If you feel like you want them but you don't know why yet, it's okay to just keep exploring and learning as you go, right? I do know a lot of people who just know they don't want kids, and others that are okay either way. So it's a hard decision to make.
I say this now, but I like welcome the chaos. Like, I like want a little bit of lively colorfulness in my life here. And I feel like kids would really like also help me appreciate more, you know, where we live and the animals. And yeah, I'm just excited to see everything through a kid's eyes again, right? And like, inner child come out. You know, I love that.
100%. It's another perspective in life. And what you're saying about the chaos, I can totally relate, because it's crazy how, like, now that they're older, my kids 3 and 6, and I'm more like in a more quote unquote finally non-chaotic stage.
Wait, is this new because it was chaotic when I went last time?
No, of course, exactly. So you see the chaos, right? Like, you see it, it's crazy still. But to me, compared to the previous years where Nate's was extra chaos, to me this is calm, right? So got I'm like, it. This is why I'm contemplating a third, which we are crazy, right? Like, we're like, oh, let's just add more chaos. But it's, I can see that. I can understand that, because I feel it too. I'm like, okay, now I'm in finally a calmer stage. Let me enjoy it. No, let me add more chaos. It's funny because we think like that, right? Like, why are we like this? But I totally get that. Yeah. So it's hard. It's a hard decision for people who are not sure. Are you planning on a hospital birth or a home birth? And are you taking any birth classes? If so, when?
So I am a hospital girly, but I feel confident in going the hospital route because I have you, like a doula who really, you as my friend, but also a professional doula, because honestly, I didn't know about all of the choices that you have going to a hospital and giving birth there.
Yes.
Typically, you know, as a patient, you would just take all the doctor's orders, and obviously they have a meaning and reason for concern for things. But knowing that I have you by my side, who's going to be advocating for me, you know, oh, she doesn't want the lights turned on so bright. Oh, she doesn't want to be checked every 10 minutes. Like, whatever. There's so many things that, like, you as a doula will help me feel confident just going to the hospital and hoping for the best. Avoiding a C-section if possible, but if it comes down to it also, that's something you can help make it best and comfortable for me too.
100%.
But yeah, no, I feel super confident with my decision of hospital birth now. And in terms of birth classes, I'm taking your classes, which was perfect timing as well, because you're doing these course now for what month births?
May through October, which you're doing August, so you're right there.
Okay, yeah. So anyone from May through October can join this too.
Yeah, we're starting next week actually.
Oh yes, I have it on my calendar. So everything from like prepping your body, whatever essentials we need to like start buying or preparing for, all the options in labor, positions, how your partner can support you, postpartum stuff, everything, right? You're going to cover it in 10 weeks or, yeah, 10 weeks, right?
It's 5 months, but 10 classes. So it's one class every other week during 5 months. So that way it's like very non-stressy and you can soak in information and kind of like have homework to do in between sessions, because you have on and off every other week class. So that's good to like put it in practice. So yeah, as you said, we are going to work on everything when it comes to birth preparation. Yes. Mindset, techniques that you need to start implementing now through the pregnancy so they come naturally at birth, partner support, essentials, everything. But also, as you also mentioned, we are going to prepare for postpartum, because what I see is that a lot of women struggle then with postpartum. They only focus on birth during the pregnancy and then they're lost in postpartum. So we're going to cover postpartum recovery, mindset, body, for mom, newborn care, as well as breastfeeding and all the postpartum plan as well. So everything.
And basically you were like, look, I'm already having these courses. I'm doing this already. So why don't you just join in on them? So because we would have the same conversations anyways over the phone. So just join in. So I literally have like two other friends doing this with me. And and if anyone else is due within those months, like you can also sign up. Why don't you leave the link in the bio for this too?
I'll leave this.
So and anyone can join.
Yeah. And the episode's notes. Yeah. So starts next week though. So yep.
Oh yeah, so up as soon as you hear this. Yeah, I'm super excited for that. I feel like it will prep me even more so, even though I know you're going to be there. Like I need to also know all of the things that I have and can do. Do you go over breastfeeding?
Yes, so the classes include breastfeeding, and I'm going to be with you for the first at least week postpartum, depending on when the baby is born, and I will be able to like help you with everything. But yeah, the courses prepare you for everything so that you're confident too, because a lot of times you're just not confident. And by knowing all the information and like feeling prepared, you know how to navigate. And then the courses also give you access to me one-on-one, like by email and text. So you can always ask me personalized questions. So obviously you get that all the time. And every time you ask me a question, I'm like, we're going to cover this in the course. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm like, but I want to know right now. And then you'll send it to me.
And I'm like in the middle of getting the kids dressed. Just give me a minute. Last question. What is the first adventure you want to bring your mini on?
I am so like pragmatic and like realistic. I'm like thinking, if I could take my baby to the farmer's market, which is where I go every Wednesday, like that, practically speaking, that would be my first adventure with my mini, if that makes sense. Like, I'm not thinking like trips or things like that. That's too ahead of me. I'm just thinking that first newborn baby phase in a baby carrier, maybe like where would I go? And it would be the farmer's market. Thank you.
Oh, I love it. I can see that already.
So cute.
And then to LA.
And then, oh yeah, that's right. And then that would be my big trip.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait.
When can I travel with a newborn safely?
When can you? Whenever you want, right?
Really?
It's like, it's whenever you want, really.
When should?
I mean, should whenever you want to. Like, it depends on a lot of things. Look, if you ask me personally what I do, I usually like to wait like around 3 months for various reasons, you know, to like just get settled, have the breastfeeding down, me feel more confident. Also, the baby gains immunity through your breast milk 3 months. Right. The first 8 weeks are very fragile. If the baby gets any cold, it can lead the baby to the hospital, right? So
oh God.
The first 8 weeks, I personally have just this bubble. You know, we get settled. We just soak it in. I recover. I want to feel at my best as well, you know, develop the baby's immunity. And also then the head is so fragile too. You want to make sure the baby is a little stronger. So I think 3 months is a really good time for all these reasons, as well as it's easier to travel with a 3-month-old than with a 1-year-old. So I love 3 months, but I also would say it depends on the timing. So maybe I wouldn't travel in a really like high flu season, or, you know, so I would also see when that falls. Your August. So 2 months would be October. So maybe Thanksgiving-ish, but yeah, that's also a high flu season. So
November.
It's everyone has their own perspectives. That's what I feel, right? So I want you to see how you feel, right? Not just, it's good to get opinions from others and like, oh yeah, this makes sense. This makes sense. And then you make your own decision in what you feel, right?
Yeah.
This is everything for today. Those questions were really good. And I feel like you got, you know, a lot of personal things out, which was fun.
Yep. All the things that I didn't answer on my stories. So yeah, wait till 20 weeks and you'll get the gender.
Ooh, so exciting. That way we won't slip anymore.
Exactly.
And so next week, we are going to continue following Raimi's pregnancy evolution. So we are going to cover week 8 through 12, how her symptoms were during those weeks, how she graduated from the infertility clinic, as well as how she started interviewing the OB that she initially thought she wanted, and what questions are great questions to ask an OB, so we can share those with you as well. And then soon, in a couple of episodes, we are already going to be in real time, which we are so excited for.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one of the questions we got actually a few times was, how do you pick an OBGYN? So that's going to be covered next week. It'll be helpful for anyone in terms of like the questions we asked and how it was for me interviewing mine. Yeah, and I will be sharing every step of my way as the pregnancy progresses and all the things I'm doing for baby. So I'm excited for all of y'all to follow along.
So make sure to subscribe to the podcast if you don't want to miss next week's episode or any future episodes to come. And also follow us on IG at MomFriendsPod for all the behind the scenes updates and more.
Yay. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.